High point. I got some sad news, like some bittersweet news. Okay, today is the last time that I get to talk at HP Students. Yes, this is the last time that I get to talk. And because I am moved, the sweet part is I'm moving to Cali and there's sun there every single day of the year. So I got to get tan, get my bod tan. But so I thought in honor of my last talk with you guys, I would share some of my favorite memories from my last 4.5 years at High Point. And so I got some pictures up here. I got 9 different memories. These aren't like my absolute favorite, but these are just like 9 different things that I saw and I was like, that's funny, I love that, or like, that's cute, because you'll see what's cute. Anyways, can I get the first picture up on the screen? Vancouver, 2012. see how good I know these? Vancouver, 2012, I almost crashed a van on the freeway going about 120 kilometers an hour. I don't know how fast that is. But for those people that were in the van know that I came up on the freeway behind a guy and didn't see that he stopped. And I about came through my windshield. I stopped so hard. Next picture, please. Okay, so this is in Vancouver. And as you can tell, me and Mikey are dressed up like gangsters. That's what gangsters dress like, obviously. We got a little bit bored, and so I want you guys to really realize what's going on here, because the real thing is what's going on in the background. I don't know if you guys see that, but that is Gary in the background. He's got his pants way down, and this was all his idea. And so he just like comes walking out of the room. He's like, what's up, homies? Let's all dress like gangsters. And so we all followed his, but he looks like a tool back there. Next picture. I don't look like a tool. It's really dark. But this is from Summit 2000 and something, like 11. We play this game called Night Ranger, and as you can barely see me. There's actually somebody right here. I think Roy Schumann is right there, but you can't barely see him. We played this game where we made it pitch black, and we literally laid down in the woods and waited for kids to run through, and we gave every single kid in camp a match. Like, a match, fire. Okay, junior high boys carrying matches. And we waited for them in the woods, and we would catch them and scare the crap out of them. And the funniest thing is that we found out that after we started playing the game that there are stinging nettles, poison ivy, and poison oak in the woods. And so that was fun. Next picture. Aw, this is the first talk that I ever got to give at High Point. Isn't that cool? Last first. I know. I was, like, really good at speaking, like, from the start. I mean, I was probably, like, I was, like, change your life good in that. Like, seriously. Okay, next picture. This is called Shirtless Foosball. We'll keep it off here because I know the ladies are like, what? But this is Shirtless Foosball, and there's nothing to explain. Next picture. Christmas service. I love our Christmas services every single year. We always have, like, Santa. We had Trevor as Santa one time, but this year, like, we couldn't find Trevor, so we brought Blow Up Santa. Never mind. Next picture, please. Chili cook-off / Southwest or Western dance-off night. Got Dalen Wilbur up there. Dalen, where are you at? Love you, son. Next picture. You guys know I had to put this picture on here. This is my beloved Nitro that you may or may not have heard about, but this is the car that she was my first love, and I don't know if I can ever love a car again as much as I loved her. But as you can see, some of my favorite people in the entire world in this place did this to my car right after I bought it, and I was so happy when I got home. Like, I was like, this is so cool. I love these people so much. That's exactly what I said when I got home. And next picture. Oh, I know. I got all cheesy for this one. Okay, funny story. That's me and that's my girlfriend singing on Student Ministry Sunday. That's like 3 years ago. That's like before we dated. It was meant to be. Ow! I'm not proposing right now. I think that's it. Is that it? Okay, that is all. That is all. But I just wanted to share some of my favorite memories with you guys. My time here at High Point, there's been some crazy things like mattresses flying off roofs or like water balloons, things that probably shouldn't be happening, but hey, it happens. So, I know, it's going to be a sad day. But Gary told me today, he's like, Jordan, you can talk about whatever you want because you're such a life-changing teacher. Like, whatever you want to talk about. That was sarcasm, by the way, for those of you that don't know sarcasm. Sarcasm. Anyways, so today, I thought that I would share some different stories some different things that have happened to me at my time at High Point. Not just like the funny ones, but like what has High Point meant to me and how has it changed my life? And, So I love the outdoors. Like if you really know like deep down inside what I love being outside. I'm a runner, if you didn't know that, which most of you know that. Had to get that in there. I love hiking. I love going to the beach. I just love being outside. I love summer nights. Nothing beats like the sun setting on August 2nd in the middle of the summer. Oh, nothing beats that. And I love being outside. Okay, anyways. So love being outside. There's one big, big problem with me loving being outside. And it's the fact that I am probably top 10 whitest person you know. Seriously, top 10 whitest. Okay, actually, let's make that top 3. You're number 1. Yes. Yes, Thomas. But, okay, I talk white. I talk like I'm white. I act like I'm white. And I'm probably the whitest person you know. Like, I know that out here on my awesome bod, I'm kind of tan. Like, this is legitimately tan for me, okay? This is about as dark as I get. You want to see what's underneath? I'm not going to lift my shirt up, ladies. This is what's underneath. Oh, snap. Yeah, so I coached track this year, and I got tan. So this is dark for me. So there's this problem because I like the outdoors, but there's this thing in the sky. It's called the sun, if you never heard of it. It's like this big fiery mass with gases and stuff on it, and it burns the crap out of me every single freaking summer. And so, let's see. Three years ago, we started going to this summer camp. It's called Dunes. Who went to Dunes in this room? Whoop, whoop. Yeah, Dunes. So the Dunes is the junior high camp, and it's on the Washington Beach. And I don't know if you guys have ever been to the Washington Beach, but the Washington beaches suck. I'm sorry, Tara. Washington beaches, they're awful because they're cold, they're wet, the sand stinks, it's windy the entire time. There's like weird goo on like the shoreline and stuff. I'm like, no, that's not for me. That's not for me. And so we went to the dunes, and there, by the way, there's like one dune at the dunes, and it's like 3 feet tall sand dune. So I don't know why they call it the dunes. But we went to the dunes, and it was like 55, 60 degrees every day, and it was like kind of cloudy. You know that days where like the sun doesn't peek through, but it's kind of bright, and so it wasn't sunny. It was cloudy. It was like in between. And so I'm like, oh, I'm good. I can wear short sleeves. I can wear shorts. I'm good. Good, man. Nope. I wasn't good. Okay? So here's what happened. We go like 2 days into this camp, and we like go play out on the beach, middle of the day, it's cloudy. I'm like, okay, I'm good. No sunscreen or anything. It was probably the evening of the second night, I have this memory of like me and David being together, and he's just like, if you know David Day, he does this thing, he's like, oh, like type thing, where he like laughs, and he's like, I don't even know if he does that actually. It might be Robbie. Never mind. I'm so confused right now. Anyways, David, we were like, we slept in the game room, and he was like, bro, you got fried today. And I was like, what? Nuh-uh. And I walk into the bathroom, and I was like, oh, snap. I was like red, let's see. I was as red as a guitar, maybe. I mean, that might be a little exaggeration, but I was fried. Like, I was the kind of sunburn where you walk into a room, and, like, everybody just stops what they're doing because they're like, oh, gosh. Like, that was it. Like, you have a conversation with somebody, and you're all sunburned, and they're like looking around, and you're just like, eyes right here. Stop looking at my sunburn. This is so awkward. Like, that's the kind of sunburn that I was, and I was so embarrassed. I wore a jacket and long sleeves like the rest of the week because I was like, I can't do this. I can't show myself like a lobster. So I went home, and I walk into my house, and I still live with my mom. I was like 20. Give me a break. And my mom is like, Jordan Bradley, are you serious? And I was like, what? And she's like, you have plenty of sunscreen on. And I was like, what? And I know. And my mom does sound like that. Let me do my thing. And I'm like, Mom, I don't need sunscreen. Doesn't work. It sucks. It doesn't actually work on me. And she's like, Jordan Bradley, you're gonna put sunscreen on and you're gonna like it. I'm gonna skin you alive. And I was like, whoa. She probably didn't say exactly that. Sorry, Mom. Love you. Love you. But she's not up there. She's out there. She's out there still. But, eek. I'm going to hear about that one later. But she was like, you're putting sunscreen on or else you're gone. And so I was like, okay. So case in point, Mom's always right. I started putting on sunscreen. I didn't put on like SPF like 10 or 5 like the girls do. They're like, I'm going to get tan, so I'm going to put sunscreen on. I put on like SPF 5000 because I need it. Because it will just, what is that called? Combust. Spontaneous combustion. That's me. I'm like, I combust in the sun. Case in point. What I found out is that sunscreen does in fact work. And that is your lesson for today. Last Sunday. Goodbye, guys. Just kidding. But what this all means is there's this, like, I like to call it a math equation, and it's going to be on your note sheet. And it's information plus application equals change. And so, no, it's not. So, what I learned is I learned that the sun burns the crap out of me. And what I learned from my mom scolding me is that if I put sunscreen on, then I'll be good. And so what did I do? I applied that to my life. I was like, sweet, put sunscreen on, and what do you know? I look like this, super hot. And yeah, you guys should try it. Anyways, on a less crazy note, okay. But the thing about this is that my time at High Point, I didn't think about this math equation until this last week when I actually heard about it, but I realized that this math equation, it kind of sums up my time here at High Point. This information plus application equals change. And so what I realized is that I sat there for so many years, and then I came to High Point and started just listening to talks, going to small groups, hanging out with people, playing in the band, and had all this information about God, about who he was, about who he wanted me to be, about where he wanted me to go in my life. And then I took that, like I took a step eventually. It took a while to get there, but I took this step and I was like, all right, I'm going to try this thing out. I'm going to really go all in this God thing. And like, I saw this incredible change in my life, like complete different direction. Like 4, 5, actually probably like 6 years ago, if you would have told me I was going to work for a church, I'd have been like, what? You're on it. And then like, if you would have told me that I was leaving to go to California to start a church, I would have been like, I don't think so. Maybe I'll go to California, you know, because it's nice there. But I was like, no way. And so it's been so cool to see this math equation change my life. Like, God has changed my life over the last 4.5 years at High Point. And so growing up in, I grew up a church kid. We grew up in a Nazarene church. It's kind of like a conservative church. And I think a lot of people, not even people that go to church, have these little prayers that they say. Do you guys say prayers before you have dinner and like go to bed? Or did you when you were little? Yay? Nay? No? Okay, whatever. Apparently I was the special one. So we had two different prayers that we prayed. One was before dinner, and it went like this. It was, God is great, God is good, let us thank him for our food, amen. Like every night. It got so robotic, I didn't even know what I was saying anymore. And then, so there's the dinner one, and then there's the pre-bedtime one, where you're like, you know, like you're kneeling next to your bed. It's, I need to read it actually, because I don't even remember it. It's, now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Okay? Pit stop. Pit stop on the second prayer there for a second. Okay, I was thinking about this week, and I was like, we got Gary, we got Lindsay, and they have little baby Jad. He's like just over 2 now. So here's what I'm picturing in my mind, okay? Is like 3, 4-year-old baby Jad, Gary and Lindsay, they teach him this prayer. And so they're like peeking inside his door at night before he goes to bed, and he's all next to his bed, and he's like, he's all cute, like, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. Amen. Okay? So it's cute. He's like a little 3, 4-year-old. Fast forward like 10, 11 years. Jad's like 13 or 14. That's when like people start to actually understand what words mean. And Jad's in his room, and his voice is still like, now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul. What the? Mom! And he's just like, what have you been having me say all these years? I pray, oh my gosh, no wonder I'm afraid of Slender Man. Jeez. Seriously, like that's what I picture. And I was like, that is so messed up. I pray, I mean, I understand why we're praying it, but I was like, you can't make a little kid say that. That's just messed up. I just had to share that with you guys. It has no point. But I just had to tell you that I read that prayer and I was like, what? No. But I want to focus on actually the first prayer, the dinner prayer. And so we actually prayed this prayer every year for like the first 18 years of my life before we ate. And we were like, if you don't pray, you're going to get heartburn because God doesn't like it when you don't pray. And so we didn't, we said this prayer every night. I'm serious. We said that. And so, but this prayer, I thought about it this week, and I was like, this prayer plus that math equation, they really just, they're like what my time at High Point has been here. And it's the first line of that. It's God is great and God is good. And those are the two things that I really want to focus on today and just kind of just share some things that have happened in my life because of those two statements. So your next fill-in here is going to be the first line of that prayer, and it's God is great. And what I have really seen happen is that God is greater than all of my problems, every single one of my problems. There's a verse in Jeremiah, book of the Bible, chapter 10, verse 12, and it says, "But God made the earth by his power, and he preserves it by his wisdom. With his own understanding, he stretched out the heavens." So what this verse is saying is that God is ridiculously powerful. Like, he created every single person here. He created the earth, the universe, which goes on for who knows how long. Everything you can imagine, he's created that, and he could control all that if he wanted to. Every little detail, like the wind blowing in the grass. He's so powerful, he could control that. Like, he could control all that. Like, that is how powerful God is. And the thing about him being so powerful is that nothing is too big for God. No problem that we ever face in our life is going to be too great for God. If we rely on him and we trust in him, he can help us overcome that. And so when I came to High Point 4.5 years ago, I was in kind of like a weird stage of life because I was like that like mediocre faith. I was like, I go to church because I'm going to get like a cool mansion in heaven. I sit there and I read my Bible every so often. I go to summer camp. Who knows? I sing the songs in the car. And I was like, that's good enough. And so I was dating this girl. It was pretty serious. For me, it was serious. Found that out later. But yeah. But I was dating this girl. And I was really invested. We dated for a year and a half, and partway through, I started coming to High Point, and I was still into her. I didn't really care about High Point that much. I was really into her, and I elevated this relationship so high. Like, she was way up here, and this relationship was way up here, and God was way down here. I was just like, you're good. We're good. I'm a good person. Good. And so I was like, okay, I'm doing okay. But I ran into a huge problem halfway through that year when she broke up with me. Seriously. And I was like, okay. No, I'm just kidding. I was pretty messed up. I was really heartbroken over that, honest. Just to be honest, I was really heartbroken. What's his face? Ryan Gosling in The Notebook. I was like, I'll do anything for you. I'll write you a letter every single day of the year, and I'll build you a freaking house if you want it, but I just need you back. Like, that's how lame I was. Like, I didn't do that, but I was like crying, and I was just stuff you didn't want to see. I was sad. And the problem that I ran into, because I had elevated her way up here and I had brushed God here, all of a sudden, we broke up and she was out of my life completely. She had gone away. And I was like, oh, whoa. I don't even know what to do. Like, I don't know who to talk to. I don't know who my friends are anymore because I've pushed them away. I was like, I have a huge problem here. Like, I'm hurting and I don't know where to go to. The coolest thing about God is that I just remember being with my friend David one time and he's just like, you got to choose. You got to choose to be happy. You got to choose to go down this path and get away from this problem. You need to trust and rely on God and just say, all right, God, it's going to be a tough road. I don't know what's going to happen. I know that there's some days where I'm just going to be hurting. I'm going to be crying. But if I trust in you, we're going to get through this. And it was so cool after that to see how he was there. God was there when I trusted him. You know, there were days where I would seriously just be so sad. And then I'd be like, all right, God, I got to remember that. I got to be happy today. I got to trust that everything is going to be okay. And it's so cool to see how God helped me overcome my problem just because he put so many different people in this room right here, right now, into my life. And I was just able to get through that problem. Like today, I got a really cool girlfriend. Love you. And he's just helped me get through that. And he's shown me that he needs to be the number one thing in my life. That if I do that, the relationship is just going to die just like it did before. And it's been so cool for me to go through that experience, to have so much hurt in my life, and then now be in this position where I've seen that and I can see people come into this room. I've seen so many of my friends, so many different faces sitting in this room, walk into this place like a broken person, people with relationship issues, family issues, divorce, sexual issues, so many different things, different problems in your lives in this room, and it's been the number one coolest thing I've ever seen in my life is to see somebody go from this place of absolute hurt to seeing God just take them and take their problems away from them. Like, there is seriously nothing in life as cool as seeing that. And Yeah, it's just so cool. And so what I've really learned is that the Jesus, the God, the one who changes everything in life, he is bigger than any problem you face if you just put your trust in him. Say, God, I'm going to rely on you when I'm hurting, when I'm down. And the second part of that prayer is God is great. And your next feeling is this. It's God is just straight up good, honestly. That's just how you got to say it. God is straight up good. When I say good, it means a lot of different things, okay? Good means loving. It means caring. It means loyal. He's always going to be there for you. He's like the best friend you could ever imagine. That is who God is, because he's always going to be there and always loves you. And there's a verse in 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, and it says, but anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. And that last line, underline that last line, for God is love. That's who God is. He loves us, no matter what we do, no matter what problems we get ourselves into, he's always there, and he always loves us. And one problem I've had growing up is I've been an introvert, okay? And I found this out because my boss, Gary, he likes to he has us take personality tests. And he goes through phases where he has us take like four at a time, like, take all this, I want to know all about you. It's kind of creepy. And so he has us take these online tests. And I love online tests, some of them, because it's like, let me take my horoscope. And you like take it, and it's like, here's the kind of person you are. It's like, you're a person, and you can talk. And you wake up every day, and you open your eyes, and you're like, that's me. That is totally me. And what you don't realize is that it's just like some generic statement about humanity. And you're just like, that is so me. And so the online tests that Gary has us take are a little bit different. And so he has us take these different ones. And one, it like told me I was an introvert, which basically means that after a certain amount of time of being around you guys, I need to go sit in a dark room and look at nobody else but the wall, because you guys tire me out. I've gotten better, but that's who I naturally am, as a person that just likes, sometimes I just have to unplug and get away. And so this created a problem for me when I first started coming to High Point, because I would walk into here and I would do some really funny things just to try to not interact with anybody. I was just like, I just want to show up. Don't talk to me. That's freaky, man. And so I had two different moves I would pull. And the first one was the phone one. I didn't bring my phone. But you guys know, the feeling of this. You walk into a room, and you see your ex, or you see somebody, and you're like, oh crap, I don't know that person. And so you're just like, all right, on the phone, just to get away from it. You guys have all the, I know every single person in this room has done that. You can't say you haven't done that. Everybody's done that. So the phone thing, and then I had this other trick, and this one's sneaky, okay? The gym used to be like flipped in different ways, but I had this one, and there's the light bars, or the light things in the back that hold those up. And so I'd do this like thing where you can position yourself, I hope I don't make this go, you can position yourself so that it looks like you're talking to somebody or that you're like making a wall. So like people are over here talking, I'm like, I don't want to talk to you, so I'm just like, all right, I'm going to be over here. It looks like I'm talking to somebody, right? If you guys need that one, you can steal that from me because it's good. It's good. It totally looks like I'm talking to somebody. I was not peeing. Anyway, well, if I'm peeing, then nobody's going to talk to me. So we're good. We're good. But I would do these different things because I was freaked out. I didn't want to talk to anybody. And then weird things started happening. Like, people actually came and talked to me. And they were like, hey, I'm blah, blah, blah. And I was like, oh, hi, blah, blah, blah. And they would just, like, introduce themselves to me. And I was like, wait, you actually want to talk to me? Like, I went to a church one time, and I literally just got there. And they were like, what's up? Hey, how you doing? And that was it. And they just walked away. And I was like, okay, I guess I'm not doing that good because I'm lonely now. And people actually came up to me and they talked to me. And I was like, this is weird. This is freaking me out. I need to go sit in a dark room. And it was so cool because what I eventually realized is that God is good. And when people start to follow him, that goodness is contagious. It's ridiculously contagious. People that say, all right, I'm going to be a true follower of Jesus. I'm actually going to live out. I'm going to apply what he has to say to my life, who he is, what he wants me to be. That goodness, it just starts to flow out. And so what I noticed is like people like Kevin Metschke, I remember, and my friend Marissa that I met when I first came here, like, I remember one night we were at Gary's house, and they just sat down and talked to me, and they're like, hey, tell us about your breakup. Tell us about what's been going on. I'm like, you actually want to know about this? Like, that is so weird. Like, nobody has ever cared enough in my life, that much in my life, to actually talk to me about that stuff. And so what I realized is that once we start taking that math equation, that information, who God is, he is just love, he's good. And we start saying, all right, I'm going to try to be a nicer person today. you know, I'm going to go to school, and there's that person that we always make fun of over there on the stairs, because we all know that gets a little sketchy. But instead of going to school and being like, "Ah, that's a weirdo," we're just going to be like, "Hey, maybe I could go talk to that person today." Or the way that we think, like we just walk in and automatically we're just sizing people up, like, "Ah, what are you wearing today? Okay." In my head, I'm just kind of figuring out who you are. And when we start to follow God and that goodness comes out of us, that goes away. We have to fight it sometimes, but that goes away. And we just start being like, "All right, I want to invest in you as a person because I know that like you have a choice in your life to follow Jesus or not to follow Jesus. And I want you to." And that's honestly, and it's really been really recent here at High Point. But it's just understanding that God is a good, loving, loyal person. And as a Christian, somebody who is trying to be like Christ, that is who I'm supposed to be as a person too. Somebody that loves every single person. And honestly, I've loved that this place has been that. It's been that for me, and it's been that for a lot of you guys where you tried to go other places, you've been freaked out. Maybe you were freaked out here at one point, but you tried it again, and you realize like there are people here, and they just want to love me and get to know me. And so that's been another big thing for me in my time at High Point, is just understanding that God is love, and that love just flows out through people that follow him. And so my question for you guys, and what you can write it down here, your last fill-in, is who are you going to be? Are you going to be a person that just waits for something to happen to follow Jesus? Or are you going to actually do something about your faith? My last little High Point story. I used to actually come here before I came to Student Ministries, before Gary was here, before anybody was here. I used to go to the adult service with my parents, and I didn't care. I didn't care about coming to church at all. Zero. Nada. And, like, it's funny that I lead worship and I sing now, because I would go in there, and during music, I would just stand there. Seriously, I would just stand there. And during the talk, I would daydream about running. I'd, like, run a 10-miler in my head. And then, like, after service, I would dip out, and I'd be like, "All right, how can I get out of here so I don't have to talk to anybody?" Like, that was church to me. It was just, like, an hour and a half on Sunday mornings where I was like, I'll just come. I'll get a cool Ferrari up in heaven if I go every Sunday. And that's all church was to me. And what I've really realized is that God doesn't want me to wait to follow him. God doesn't want me to wait until like I'm married. He doesn't want me to wait until I go through like the party scene at college. He doesn't want me to wait until there's a tragedy in my life to realize that I actually need him in my life. He doesn't want me to wait for those things to happen. He wants me to follow him right now, right here, right now. And I feel like, you know, as high schoolers, I've been there before. In junior high and high school, we're told, like, you got to figure out, you know, you just got to wait until you get to that next step. You got to figure out who you're going to be. And then when you get to college, you got to figure out your major. And then you got to figure out what job. And then you just wait until you retire. And then you die. And we're told to wait. But the thing, God doesn't want us to wait. He doesn't want us to wait to follow him. He wants us to follow him right now. And I can just share from personal experience, just as a person, one-on-one with each of you guys, that when you start to follow Jesus, when you start to allow him to just change your life, it's incredible, just like the feeling that God is always there, that he's always going to talk to you, and he's always going to be your friend, that you can talk to him whenever you want. The fulfillment, the joy that you find in following Jesus, honestly, is nothing compared to that. I haven't found anything in life that's ever compared to that. And so, yeah, I just wanted to share that with you guys, that That's what I've seen over the last few years here. And I just think this is such a cool place. And I'm really sad to leave. Just because I know that and my hope is that you guys continue that love that you've shown me. And I just want to close by saying thank you to each and every single person. There are so many different faces, different people that I've met through group life. The band people, the tech people, just different people that have spent the last few years or even the last few weeks. And I just got to say thank you, because I think it's so cool that as a leader, I've never been a student here, that as a leader, I can come to a youth group and I can have my life changed. Like, absolutely incredible. So I just got to say thank you guys for doing this church thing with us for the last couple of years. And that's all I got.